I like to host parties. I get it from my mother, I think, who has cocktail parties routinely for 50 or more people. She's an excellent cook, a gracious host. She has a beautiful home. There is nothing quite like a party at my parents' house. When I throw parties, though, I tend to be very particular and perhaps not as gracious as I should be. I might say, if a guest says to me, what can I bring? I might say, it would be great if you could bring an appetizer, thank you. And let me tell you, woe to her who shows up with brownies. If I had needed dessert, I would have said so. Woe also to them who do not RSVP, or who show up late with four uninvited guests, throwing my seating arrangements out of whack and making me panic whether I have enough food. I like to think of myself as a planner, a details person, but I think the right word might be uptight. I would probably hate to have Jesus in my home. And woe to them who put a hole in my roof. This is one of those, yes, I've heard this one before, gospel stories. For those of us who have some familiarity with the gospel, we're familiar, if not with this story, with this type of story. Jesus is forgiving people. Jesus is healing people. Jesus is welcoming people. Jesus is not doing what he's supposed to be doing on the Sabbath. It's very easy to think, yes, I've heard this one before. The thing about the gospels, though, is these stories were news to people, especially at the very beginning of Jesus's ministry, where we find ourselves today. It's chapter 2. He is just getting started. No one in the story has heard this one before. We have become very comfortable with how uncomfortable the gospel is. In today's reading, Jesus returned to Capernaum. People heard that he was at home. Except, last time I checked, Jesus is not from Capernaum. Jesus is generally known as Jesus of Nazareth, and of course, we're familiar with the story we celebrated at Christmas of his birth in Bethlehem, where the gospel writers of Luke and Matthew make a point of connecting him with the city of David. Mark makes no such point, but he does refer to Jesus as the one who came from Nazareth in Galilee, just one chapter before today's reading. I've personally never heard of Jesus of Capernaum. I checked a map, and it's not right next door, which would have been easier. So what's going on? Why does it say Jesus came home to Capernaum? There are two important things about Capernaum. First, according to Mark, it is where Jesus' ministry begins. It is the very first place he teaches in a synagogue. It is where he first starts to teach the good news of the kingdom of God, and it's where he calls his first disciples, Simon called Peter and Andrew and James and John. And that's the second thing. It's not where Jesus is from. It's where Peter, Andrew, James, and John are from. It is where they left their families and their nets and followed Jesus. When Jesus returns home in today's reading, he is not returning to his home, but to the home of his first four apostles, perhaps even to Peter's house, where Jesus had not long before healed Peter's mother-in-law and many others. Jesus' ministry doesn't happen in his home, it happens in ours. It is, I admit, a little bit amusing to me that it is not Jesus' house that gets a hole in the roof. It is Peter's. I have to wonder how Peter, or Peter's mother-in-law, felt about that. Imagine the scene. Jesus is teaching and healing. People are sitting at his feet, standing in doorways, all the way out into the street. People are craning their necks, trying to see and hear what he's saying. Four men of great faith overcome literal, physical barriers to get to Jesus on behalf of their paralyzed friend. They somehow push through this crowd, scale the walls with a stretcher, get on top of the home, and dig down through the roof. The paralytic is perhaps silently lying on his mat, praying, or just hoping not to be dropped. The scribes are whispering among themselves in disapproval and uncertainty. Dust and clods of dirt are falling on top of people's heads as they listen and watch. And Peter, sitting at Jesus' feet, looks up as chunks of the ceiling are falling and thinks, really? Through the roof? My mother-in-law is going to flip. Peter is learning that following Jesus is weird. The weirdness varies from mildly uncomfortable to dangerous and deadly. But even when it's not deadly, it is inconvenient. Just after Jesus forgives and heals the paralytic in today's story, he starts inviting all kinds of tax collectors and sinners to eat with him. Then he doesn't fast in the prescribed way. All of these convention-breaking, rule-stretching things, it must have been so uncomfortable to be with Jesus. More than once, the Jewish leaders say, "You can't do that." And Jesus always answers, "Yes, I can." "You can't offer forgiveness." "Yes, I can." "You can't eat with those people." "Yes, I can." We are dealing with new boundaries now, new rules, new cloth, new wineskins. Not because the old ones are bad, but because the kingdom of God is different. And the discomfort is worth it a million times over, because the kingdom of God is here and is coming and is for everyone. If Jesus were here now and we were documenting his ministry, I wonder what he would do that would cause people 2,000 years from now to look back and say, "I've heard this one before." Maybe, "Oh, I've heard this one. This is the one where Jesus is on the metro swiping his card for strangers." Or, "Jesus is always hanging out with undocumented immigrants." Maybe Jesus is always befriending and supporting LGBT people, divorced people, mentally ill people. Or, "Jesus is always talking politics at dinner, and people are always telling him, now is not the time." If Jesus were here, he would be making us uncomfortable. And if I'm honest with myself, I would be asking him to tone it down. The scribes and the Pharisees in this story, they're me. "For goodness sake, Jesus, you can't do that. You can't say that." Except, yes, he can. And we can. And we have to. Following Jesus, if we're doing it right, is weird. It is uncomfortable. It starts in our homes, making us uncomfortable where we're most comfortable. And if we're doing it right, we may have to rearrange our lives, make room at the table, have brownies for an appetizer, have uncomfortable conversations, get involved in causes that matter, stand up for people who are marginalized, say something when it would be easier to say nothing. When you let Jesus into your home, into your heart, you may, hopefully not literally, get a hole in your roof. Get uninvited guests. Get strange looks from people. But he will teach us to love. If we are reckless enough to follow him, he will change everything. He will usher in a new kingdom of love and acceptance and wholeness for everyone. As we settle into our routines in the new year, I urge us not to settle into our weekly scripture readings too comfortably. I pray we read Jesus' story this year with fresh eyes, as ones who haven't heard this one before. May we be moved, despite inconvenience and discomfort, to emulate Jesus' radical and welcoming love. I pray that as Jesus came home to Capernaum, he would come home to Arlington, that he would annoy us with his relentless challenges, shower us in his love, and empower us to be uncomfortable and to continue his ministry here today. Amen.